Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to discuss the concept of almost. Missed it by that much. The concept of doing the right things, but not enough of the right things, and the right thing not right enough, to where the end result is mediocre at best. That's a painful thought. To have found the right thing to do, but to have done it the wrong way or have not done it enough to make it worthwhile is really a painful thing if you think about it. And as I get older, I'm running into more and more people my age because, you know, obviously, whatever your age is as you speak, you attract people your own age, I'm sure. It's very simple for me to go back and explain to people that are young how to do what we do and retire in 2 to 5 years, and boom, that's exciting. But what happens when you get to be 40, 50, 60, 70 years of age and you look back and go, well, I tried some of that and I'm not rich? Then you got to take a deeper look. The sad part is at a certain age, you start to feel like you don't have the energy, the effort, ability to look back, to change things. It's over. It's done. Life is over. I get those feelings every once in a while. I know I'll never be a bodybuilder again. I'll never be a power lifter again. I'll never be an Olympic lifter again. I know that. I'm done. It's over. Goals change in life. So now my goal is to stay physically fit, to stay alive, to be able to walk, to be able to live life in my later years. That's a good goal. But what about the goal of not starving to death, not being broke? You know, the one thing that's hard to look back on as you get old is not having money. It's not like, okay, I'm not going to be a stud anymore. It's like, okay, can I even pay my bills anymore? Can I eat? Can I pay for my housing? And those are some sad conversations to have with people. The other problem is when you get to be a little older, you don't have the energy to go out there and fight. See, when you're younger, most people are willing to go out and just hack away at life. Fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. And if you're willing to work hard enough and hack hard enough and work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, you can make a living for yourself. But when you get older, whatever age that is for you, that you can't get up and fight that good fight every day, then you need to have something set aside for yourself. You need some passive income to survive on. And you look back and go, wow, maybe it's too late for me. And that's kind of the angle that we're taking today is, you know, what do you do? What did these people do wrong that could have been fixed? And if they are where they are right now, what could you do right now to fix these things? That's what we're going to go through. So I'm taking some very intimate emails today, going through them, not going to give out the names, try to keep as much personal information out of it as possible so you can't figure out who it is. But I'm going to share these inside informational pieces with you because you need to hear them so you don't make the same mistakes, right? That's what it's all about. Now, before I get into this, I want to paraphrase this by saying the stories that I've used in the past to explain what I'm about to explain today is the story about me being an Olympic lifter and my coach telling me I did it wrong forever and ever and ever. Every time I do a lift, it was wrong. I didn't have my elbows in the right place, my knees in the right place, da, 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 da. And a year and a half later, I won the Junior Olympics and set all kinds of records. The same thing was true when I was learning to dance. I mean, I did it wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong, and then all of a sudden, I could do it beautifully. Same thing happened when I took boxing in high school. It had me doing these stupid arm movements. It was so ridiculous. I mean, trying to punch with your left hand, which you've never done with your left hand, and you practice and practice and practice and practice. Then I get into my first fight and I knock a guy out with my left hand. I've never even used my left hand before that. But they made me work for hours punching with my left hand. People and coaches and teachers can teach you things. The problem is we don't want to listen to everything they have to say. We don't want to perfect it. We want the instantaneous, gratificationally diseased, something for nothing concept of, hey, if I just study this for a few minutes, I can figure it out. It's not that hard. And really, it's not that hard after 1,000 hours of practice. After doing it meticulously, I always loved the story of Michael Jordan, who didn't even get to play a starter in high school and became the greatest of all time. They'd say to the concert pianist, you know, guy walks down on the concert pianist, says, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. I would give my life to play like that. And the guy did. The pianist said, I did give my life to play like that. And so you have to ask yourself, what are you willing to do to make sure you're not broke when you retire? So I'm going to share some emails with you. We'll go through some ideas and we'll see if we can hack anything out here. First one said, I heard about Lifestyles Unlimited on the radio in St. Louis about a year ago. I listened on 97.1 FM. There was some good information, and I was surprised how much of what you do lines up with what I already do. So there's the first thing right there. People like confirmation. I was surprised with how much of what you do lines up with what I already do. I have dabbled in real estate for years and have always done well with flipping houses and holding some for rentals, okay? So there we go. The first divergence from what we do is I don't flip houses. I hold them, right? So in the long run, I ended up with enough passive income to become wealthy because I kept holding real estate. I did churn it. I did move it. We'll get into that later. But I did hold it. He did some flipping. Flipping is earned income. You make some money, you pay some taxes, it's gone. Moving on. I've never had more than a few rentals at a time, but never took advantage of leveraging or compounding of the investment when I sold them. So never use leverage, never had more than a few. I have a saying, if you help enough other people in this world get what they want, you can have whatever you want. Is 4 or 5 rental houses enough? That's not helping enough people for you to have what you want and need in life. You need more. He didn't do that. That was a new concept for me. A couple of years ago, I decided to get back into rental market and work my way out of the job I was in. The stress of it was making me physically ill. That's his job. I bought several small single-family homes and fixed them up myself. There we go. How's he making money? He's making money by doing the labor himself. He's getting some real estate benefit from it, but he's doing the work. So he traded from a job that was a sales position, and I know what it says later what he does. He traded from a sales position with high-stress job to a low-stress construction job. You buy a house, you work at it at your own pace. I've done some of this stuff before. I loved working in my own houses because there was nobody to tell you to hurry up. There was no rush, no boss, no nothing else. And he did it. Goes on. I left my job about a year ago and I started my own insurance adjusters company, which I have done for about 20 years. So he's an insurance adjuster. So I can control the workflow instead of being buried all the time. So there it is. He's doing exactly what he did before, but he doesn't do as much of it. So what he's done is he's asked for a slowdown in his life. That's what he needed out of what he was doing, was to slow it all down. So he's not trying to get more money in his life. He's trying to get more time back in his life. In my extra time, I worked on the properties to get them ready as needed. So in his extra time, which meant that this was not a business to him, it was a hobby to him. I have background in construction from when I was younger, and as I mentioned, I have worked on many properties over the years. So there you go. Here's where this guy's making the money on these deals. He's not making the money by doing what we're doing, which is buying real estate for all of the positive reasons. He's making money because he's buying properties doing the work himself. And when you're going to see later in his email, this comes back and haunts him as his attempt to retire occurs. Because if you're born with a hammer in your hand, everything in life looks like a nail, meaning you make your money on real estate deals by doing the construction yourself. So I would buy a house. It's a $200,000 house for one of my clients. I don't do it anymore. I'm into apartments now. But I'd buy a house for $200,000 value, after repaired value, buy it for 100 grand, put 50 grand in it for repairs, but not have the client do the work. We'd pay a contractor $50,000. At the end, the property, we have 150 grand in it. It's worth 200,000. We made $50,000 for the client, right? That's not what this guy's doing. This guy is buying it, doing the $50,000 worth of renovation, but doing it himself and saving 20 grand. The problem is he's probably not buying it at the 100 grand, because if you know that you don't have to make that margin up on the construction, then you're probably going to buy deals that aren't as good, because you see that you can make the margin just by doing the work yourself. You do make the margin. You still make the money and think, wow, real estate's pretty cool. I'm making money. But you're making money and doing work. And the key, if you ever want to retire, is to get out of the work part of it, right? So he goes on and says, as I am building equity and getting more funds to work with, I'm hiring more people to do the work so I have more time to focus on investments and expanding. So there you go. He's starting to see it. It's starting to click in. He sees that if he's busy building and doing work, you know, as a construction guy, he can't be out there and be an investor. Listening to the shows, I became more interested in passive investing and multifamily, which is my plan to move forward. I have likely do some single family yet if the deals are right. Okay, so now he's starting to expand his mind. He's hearing about multifamily. He's hearing about passive investments, and he's starting to feel the pain of, okay, I gave up my job as an insurance adjuster to do more work as a construction guy, right? Well, I'm not saying we all go through this, but this is a very common process for people to wake up to. I joined in April of this year, all right, at the lowest level and took 2 days in St. Louis, the two-day class. That's how you get started here. You take 2 full days of training, learn how to locate, evaluate, negotiate, contract, close, operate, rehab, finance, everything on both single family and multifamily. I was surprised to see an old friend there who was already a preferred member and just started investing passively. I decided to become a preferred member myself and did so at the seminar that weekend. I'm excited to get started with passive investing and may eventually do some small IRO apartments, which is independently owned apartments. In other words, like owning your own rent house, you own your own apartment all by yourself. Looking forward to doing that down the road. I know the process works because it's similar to what I've been doing recently that has allowed me to cash flow the properties and build equity. My biggest problem has been finding contractors that can do the work for reasonable prices. I hope being a member will open up some doors there. So you look at this, and one of the problems is that once you become very affluent at doing the construction yourself, you know what stuff really costs. And when that's the case, it really bugs the crap out of you when you see contractors are charging you a very large markup to do the work. You know what it costs. So you have a subcontractor who gets paid the labor to do the work. Then you have a general contractor who gets paid to sell the deal, buy, get you to work through them. And then he pays the subcontractor, so he takes a profit also. You can see right through that profit if you've ever done the work yourself, because you're seeing it from the work of the laborer, and you're hoping you can go hire a laborer. The problem is laborers are inconsistent. They're hard to keep hold of. They're looking for jobs where people can give them work every single day. That's why they end up with general contractors. And it's very hard to get somebody to work. I actually have a few of these people working for me, but it's because I own apartment complexes, so I can hire people directly, whereas with single-family rent houses, it's harder to do that. And so even small apartments is harder to do that because you can't afford to keep one on salary. And that's what this guy's finding right now, is it is difficult for him to replicate his model, right? That's what a lot of you find. It's very hard to replicate the model you started when you became a beginner real estate investor because you did everything and the numbers made sense when you did everything. So what I recommend you do is learn how to do it with the numbers with you not doing the construction, not doing the renovation. And so when that is done that way, you do it my way, you're going to end up with a couple of things that are part of the plan and you need to know this. Number one, you have to make money going into the deal. You have to buy it right. If you don't buy it right, the fact that you know how to do some construction isn't going to make the deal that much better. Number two, you've got to take into account the renovation costs as a part of the deal. Number three, this guy never used leverage. So he never really got the benefit that comes with leverage to where you go out there with a hard money lender and you buy it and you pay for not only the property but also the renovations from the hard money lender, then you have very little out of pocket. In this particular case, this guy probably bought his properties and then did the renovations out of his pocket. He did the labor work, but he paid the renovations out of his pocket. That type of money invested into these deals makes it very difficult for them to make as much money on a rate of return percentage-wise as we make on the deals that we do. You may make more true dollars, right? You have more true dollars coming out of it, but you have a lesser rate of return dollars coming out of it. So the guy never leveraged up. He never had more than a few properties. So now he's got to decide what he's going to do and whether or not he's going to go passive or is he going to stay active. Sounds like he can't make up his mind. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about how you missed it by that much. How you decided that real estate investing was a smart thing to do. You did it. You piddled with it. You played around with it. You touched it. Tried it, but now you're getting old and it didn't retire you. Why didn't it retire you? The last guy's problems were as follows. Number one, he did the construction himself, so he found it very difficult to ever move into a completely passive environment, although he's doing it right now, trying to. He's finding it difficult to move into a passive environment because he was making a lot of the money he was making by doing the work. So he was actually making money by doing construction as opposed to making money by being a real estate investor. Now he has to learn how to work it the other way around, where you make the money by being the investor, not by being the construction guy. The other thing he did wrong is he didn't use leverage. And so many people want to stay away from leverage. They don't think that leverage, they think that leverage is dangerous. And leverage can be dangerous if done incorrectly. But if done correctly, leverage is what makes real estate as profitable as it is. Without leverage, I don't think real estate's any more profitable than anything else. I'd just as soon be in the stock market as to be, in real estate, because real estate has risk too. It's just the fact that leverage is something that allows you to make massive amounts of money. All right, so we're moving on to the second person here. I'm going to read their email. It says, we own paid for, and that means paid in full, residential properties. We own three paid for residential properties, an acre in East Aldine, Houston, in the county, not city limits, and two others as described further below. So before we even get started, I know what the problem is. They have no leverage. They own three properties and only three properties. And do you think three properties can retire you and live at a great lifestyle with only three properties? I don't think so. Goes on and says, blank blank, not going to give out his name, is a semi-retired disabled veteran and served during the Vietnam War. After years of buying and selling real estate as investors, we are now in our 70s. Now think about this. He went to the Vietnam War, which means he's my age, right? He's in his 70s. Years of doing what I've done. I've done it for years. He did it for years, right? My plans made me a multimillionaire. His plan has left him in tight situation. But we both did real estate. So if 18 million people looked at what he did, 18 million people would tell you real estate doesn't work. Thousands of people have looked at what I've done, copied it, and it worked. It worked for me. It worked for them. It's just two different models. So who are you going to listen to? Do you listen to the people who fail and tell you that something like real estate creates failure? Or are you going to listen to people succeeded and tell you real estate does work? If you do it correctly, you don't like that part, do you? If you do, I don't want to do it correctly. I want to do it my way, right? I want the shortcuts and I want the easy. But the shortcuts are not always the shortest cuts. Slow and consistent gets it done. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So we move on. It says, our income is too low. Our assets are predominantly only in real estate. We need significant and rather low risk, more passive income. What do you suggest? So look what they're looking for. They're looking for low risk, high return rewards, which is normally high returns equal high risk. And so they've put themselves in this low risk, all paid in full situation, which has no leverage, which makes no return. And then the style and the types of houses that they've purchased is an interesting combination also. I'll just read it to you. It says, 1 acre of land with a house located, I'm not going to say where it's at, in the county, not in city limits. It's older, three-bedroom, two-bath house with huge garage, workshop, and the house attic could be finished out to make an additional loft room. The property is 1 acre and has a triplex on it and with a huge garage. The property likely could be turned into commercial purpose real estate. It increases its value. Its value appreciates significantly and regularly. If we sold the location, we would need a desirable home without monthly payments. So there you go. They're living in this home. And by the way, 1 acre is not that much. My house has 2.5 acres. It's just a house. You know, 1 acre is regular lot, really. But to them, it's acreage, believe it or not. And they got a triplex on it also and a garage. But listen to what they're living with. This is their life. It's got a workshop and a huge garage and an attic. Man, I'm living in my home and I have the same thing. I've got a giant train room. I have a giant workshop. I have a giant gym. We have storage rooms. We have a maid's quarters. There's no place for me to go. I've got everything I want. That's what these people have, everything they want. But they park their boat at the dock of everything you want, making no money. That's the problem. Because if they're living in this big house and they got the triplex rented out, hopefully, they could have turned the garage into a rent house, but they didn't. They're living the way they want to live. But that doesn't solve their problem for it, does it? Now, we'll get to the solution to the problem here in a minute, but let's go down to the next one. Next one is a 1 acre of land. Again, they're into these acreage things, so all these things are out in the middle of the country where acreage is nothing, costs nothing. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath residential house. It's in New Caney. It's a long distance from Houston and Humble where they live. So this house is out in the middle of nowhere, paid in full. I guess I'm assuming it's rented. Doesn't say. Next one is a 4-bedroom house in Orange, Texas. Houses in there are in high demand for rent due to having so many chemical and petrochemical plants in the area. What input would you have to increase our cash flow without losing too much of the advantage of having appreciation and other benefits from real estate we have in hand? So they're getting the benefit of appreciation. They've got no mortgage reduction. Don't know how much rental income they're getting from it, doesn't say. But I'm just going to take you through the easiest understanding of their problem. And that would be this. What we need to do is take, and let's just assume that all these all together are worth enough that you could borrow $1 million out of it. And if it's only $500,000, just take the example, cut it in half. Let's say you could borrow $1 million out of all this. And let's say you have to pay 5% interest on that $1 million, right? What I want to do is go buy more rent houses, which gives me more depreciation so I don't pay taxes on all this income. More appreciation because I own $1 million more real estate. In fact, I wouldn't buying $1 million, would be leveraging. That'd be 20% of $20 million. 20% of, I'm sorry, one-fifth at $5 million worth of real estate if I could borrow $1 million out. I would be making, you know, 10%. I would try to make between 10 and 15% cash flow. And if I'm paying 5% for the interest and I'm earning 15%, I would be making 10% on that million, which would be $100,000 a year. Now, you would now own 5 times the amount of real estate you own right now. You would be making, remember, you borrowed out and you owe $5,000 a month, or you owe, I'm sorry, you owe 5% on the $1 million. You're going to earn 15% on the $1 million. So you're going to earn a 10% profit on the $1 million, which is 100 grand a year. That's what you need to do. Now, you could par those numbers down and say, well, it's only worth 500,000. Okay, so you're only going to make 50 grand a year more, right? You could say, well, we might not get as much cash flow as that. We might only make 10% cash flow. Okay, so you make 10% of $1 million and you pay 5% of $1 million. So you make 5% of $1 million, which is $50,000 a year, right? So again, they're not using leverage. Two, they've got very, very poor locational benefits from owning these houses in different places. And so they've just, they didn't think through their portfolio. They just hit or miss did it. And they did it with no leverage at all. And the answer is simply get their money back out of those houses, either sell them or refinance them and put together a portfolio that makes sense, that has a much higher rate of return than what these guys have. Because if you own a house free and clear, even if you rent it, you're not going to earn more than 6%, 9% at the tops on the property by the time you pay taxes and insurance, maintenance, repair, and vacancy. You're not going to earn more than 9%. Well, if you go out there and leverage that deal, you can earn between 10 and 15% and own 10 times more houses. So it's just so much better to do, all right? So now we're coming to the third email here and culminate this conversation. It says, I joined Lifestyles in March of 24. I did join a little earlier because I wanted to take advantage of the discount. I am going to come into fairly good windfall next year, approximately $150,000. While I am waiting, I borrowed money using a home equity loan to try to secure my first single family acquisition. I only borrowed $120,000 and I have some other cash in other accounts. The payment on that loan is $1,000 per month. I'm trying to find a house that I can purchase and rehab for $130,000 or less. If that has been difficult at this, what other few options do I have? Guys, this person, even though they're a member, has no idea what they're doing. We don't buy a $130,000 house, pay cash for it. He doesn't need the $120,000. With the $150,000 he borrowed out, or I'm sorry, the $120,000 he borrowed out, he could go out and buy at $25,000 a house, four houses, five houses, easily four or five houses, and use hard money and be making a ton by the time he gets his $150,000. And he could be paying back that $1,000 a month out of these five houses easily. But I don't get it. I mean, he said he joined. He said, I joined in March of 24. I don't think the guy's taking the classes. I don't think the guy understands what he's doing. And this is what blows my mind. He goes down here and says, here's some options. Pay home equity loan back after seasoning period and just wait until I get my windfall and start using hard money. He could do it right now. Why does he want to pay it back and then wait till he gets his $150,000? I don't get it. Number two, buy multifamily with the $120,000 using hard money and hope they appreciate properly. No, you can't go buy a multifamily with $120,000. It's not going to get you anywhere. He said with hard money, I'd be buying something that's just destroyed only. Very risky for your first project. Maybe it could be done by somebody that's a pro. David Fisher might be able to do it. But for a beginner, that'd be very difficult to pull something like that off. And number three, wait for a perfect deal to come that fits into my budget. It doesn't take a perfect deal to fit into your budget. It takes the right kind of deal. And I don't know why you're not finding them, other than maybe you're just looking for them yourself in the wrong places and you don't have people out there that know what they're doing looking for you. Either way, shape, or form, the point is this guy's even a member. And he's not listening to the training. And that's what's been a problem for 35 years. I'm now 34 years plus teaching this stuff. September of 1990. So it's longer than 34 years. 34 years and 2 months. September, October, November, December. 34 years and 3 months of teaching this stuff. Is that people don't listen. You don't listen on the radio. You hear what you want to hear. You go, well, you're pretty lucky to be over here with all this money. No, I'm not. I followed the plan. You need to follow the plan too, because remember, it's not just the money. It's a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.